Good morning. Welcome to our Monday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. This week, our morning devotions will wrap itself around hearing the word. But not just hearing, we're going to be taking a look at what we ought to be doing with the word so that we are doers of the word and not hearers only. And so each day, weekday, we'll take a look at a different aspect of how Paul writes to Timothy and says that scripture is useful. And if God's word is useful, then what are we doing with it? And so throughout the week, we'll break down different parts of what Paul wrote to Timothy, but also keeping in mind the power of God's word. Romans 10, verses 17 and 18 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the world, into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." And so today we're going to start the broadcast part of the week talking about hearing the origin of God's word. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." As you consider hearing God's word and putting it into practice, doing the things that it says, it's important to lay the foundation that it is God's word. Because without that foundation, then we have a tendency to, well, take it or leave it. We take the parts we like, we leave the parts we don't like because, well, some guy wrote that and he doesn't live in this century and doesn't understand what this century's about, and so I don't have to pay attention to it. It's just some guy. But that's not what God says about his word. God says that all scripture is God-breathed. It came from his breath. In fact, John writes and says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things that were created by this word." The word was Jesus. And when we understand the origin of God's word is God himself, the breath of God is the words that we have recorded. God is powerful enough to make sure that what we have is what he wanted us to have. And I know we get caught up in the arguments of the modern generation of how do we know that this is God's word? Somebody could have just written it in there that it's God's word, and yet it's endured the test of time. It doesn't matter how ancient a manuscript is that is found today. When it's studied, when it's translated, when it's understood, we discover that it says the same thing as what we have today. You see, God's word came from him, and he has maintained it, he has protected it, he has made it known. Those that authored what we call the Bible, those that wrote it down and recorded it and collected it, God says, did so by his Spirit. That it wasn't out of their thought process or their mind or their will to dictate God's word to mankind. No, it was God's Spirit whose will was to dictate God's word to mankind through reliable witnesses, through reliable men who would write it down and preserve it for all generations. You see, until we begin to hold fast to the origin of God's word as being God-breathed, as being useful, we'll always have doubts. We'll always have excuses for why we don't do what it says. We'll always demand that others do what we think. One of the great parts about being a part of a restoration movement church, the independent Christian churches, Churches of Christ, is that we claim, at least, and the great part of claiming that is I can hold fast to it. That we allow the Bible to be the authority of what we do. And there's a lot of freedom in how we do church, how we do the worship gatherings, how we do life. But everything has the ability to be questioned and held up and measured against God's Word. And with that standard, God's Word is what always wins. And I'm not saying that it's perfect. That God's Word is perfect. I am saying that. I'm not saying the process of holding everything up to it and His Word winning is always perfect, because we're involved. And there are times, and there have been times throughout history, where people have made a statement or a claim that God's Word supports this or says this, or, and a clear understanding of it would say that that's not true. There are those that have used God's Word to rationalize slavery. And God's Word does not tell us that we ought to have slaves. In fact, it says we ought to treat one another better than we treat ourselves. There's history of slavery throughout the Bible. There were times where God's people were enslaved. There were times where people sold themselves into slavery. There were times that others were sold them into slavery. And God's instruction was always about doing what was right, in honoring people, in treating them with dignity and respect. So the nature of slavery in the United States is not something that God's Word would condone or rationalize or justify. It just doesn't. And you can go through a lot of things that people try to say, well, God's Word allows me to do this or tells me I should do this, and some of it is just sinful behavior that we don't want to give up, and we misuse Scripture to try to prove that we're doing the right thing, and we're not. And sometimes, as I've said, we tend to rationalize our sinful behavior by saying it's just a different era. If God had known what this generation is like, He would have allowed for this, because we do it differently. And when we hear God's Word as authoritative, then we begin to recognize that our opinion isn't the one that matters. God's is. And we become diligent in taking the whole counsel of God's Word, not cherry-picking verses out that try to prove a point that we want to make, but reading it within context and allowing it to interpret itself. And we use God's Word as a foundation that we build on. A strong and sturdy, a stable foundation, a foundation that cannot and will not be moved. And we hear the origin of God's Word. We give honor to God for His wisdom, for His provision, for His guidance, for His knowledge and awareness of what we would need. And so this week, as we spend time talking and praying about hearing God's Word and putting it into practice, we do so with a foundation that it is true, it is right, it is what we ought to live. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love has given us what we need in order to understand who You are. You've given us your word, a word that came not through the will of man or its desire, but through the will of your Spirit. Words that were passed along from you to reliable witnesses that would write them down as they were carried along by your Spirit, as they were led and instructed by your Spirit. And so, God, help us to live life with an awareness of your word being the foundation on which we trust, on which we believe, on which we live by faith. Father, forgive us for those times where we've made up our own word, where we've set your word aside so that we could do things our own way because we like our way better. Father, help us to allow your word to do its work in our life because we recognize it as being your word. May we grow in our understanding. May we grow in our practice. May we grow in our sharing of your word. And Father, in all things, may we recognize, even if we fail to understand, may we still recognize Scripture came from you, and that its origin is from your Spirit. And because of that source, may we use it well, may we use it wisely, may we use it truthfully. And as we hold fast to the origin of your word, may we do so in a way that lifts up Jesus, so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Monday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.